From Hollywood to Amazon, today an Amazon journey with Judson Morgan. He was an actor with a professional career and made the decision to get out of that and become an Amazon seller. He now owns an agency as well for storytelling and video production. And get this, he's married to Kelly Overton, one of the stars on Van Helsing. She plays Vanessa Van Helsing. So excited to talk to him today. We'll be talking about all of that transition, as well as many great tips on how to better tell your product story on Amazon. This is the My Amazon Guy podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Pope, founder of the agency My Amazon Guy. Tune in each week to learn how to grow your Amazon sales. All right, I'm now joined by Judson Morgan. Thanks so much for joining me on the My Amazon Guy podcast.
I'm excited to be here.
So we're titling this podcast From Hollywood to Amazon Seller, and I'm super excited to talk to you because I don't think I've ever talked to anybody with Hollywood ties before. So let's start there. Tell me about your Hollywood background.
Okay. I'm super excited to be here. I'm a fan of your work. I see all your stuff on YouTube, the podcast. Great.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And it's, I think you're really smart to just get into the real meat and potatoes, right? You're just like, you're going to get tactics every time you listen to these things. You're going to really understand. And I'm selling on Amazon. So I get how real these tactics and stuff are. And I think you're unique in the space. So I just wanted to give you that as we get started.
Quite unexpected and very much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys, if you're listening to this, you're smart. You're in a good place. So I started out as a filmmaker and an actor and got a master's, actually, if you can believe that, a master's in directing and acting.
And so you were homeless in the first 20 years of your life is what? No, I'm just kidding.
No, exactly. Exactly. It's funny when frame it on this conversation as I was always an entrepreneur and I didn't realize it. And I didn't realize that I was a kind of a terrible product. So as an actor, you're just an entrepreneur who uses yourself as the product. And I ended up not being a great product.
you got a face for radio is what they said to you.
Yeah. No, I kind of fit like I was a little too quirky to be a leading man and a little too handsome to be quirky. It was just, I fell through the cracks, you know?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So I got into a Broadway show, met my wife acting in a Broadway play.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it was crazy. Right.
It's crazy. Was it like one of those classic stories where like you kiss for the first time on set or?
Sort of, really? Wow, yeah. Our characters did kiss.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's a Cinderella story. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. And then she's continued to be an actor. So she's still out there doing stuff. She's on a TV show. But I went behind the camera and started doing narrative filmmaking, did a bunch of films, won a bunch of awards and, sort of saw behind the veil and saw that it wasn't a great life or business actually. So the 1% of the 1% has an incredible life. And those are the people that we all see, the Hollywood people, right?
Yep.
But the 99% of them, the people that are working in the business day by day, like making a living, they work 16-hour days. They work all day Saturday. They have no time for their family. A friend of mine is like a celebrity and he is on a TV show that shoots in Vancouver and he's going to be away from his 13 or 14 year old daughter for like 8 months because she's got to be at school in Los Angeles. And
right.
So it ends up being not a great life. And for 99%. And my wife's the star of a TV show. We have a very good situation, but even that is it's imperfect.
For those that are curious, they're going to go look you up now. What's the name of the TV show?
She's on a show called Van Helsing. And it's on Netflix and it's a vampire hunter TV show.
That's actually pretty incredible and awesome.
Yeah. Wow. She plays Vanessa Van Helsing.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 So you're talking to real Hollywood here, man. Real Hollywood.
So I should have done more research before I hopped on the call with you. I had no idea. That's incredible.
We've started with the best thing. The best thing about me is my wife. And now we can go on to all the boring stuff.
So it's downhill from here.
It's downhill. So I went behind the camera and did that. And I saw then I got hired by like Microsoft to make like a little documentary short for them. And I mean, long story, but like, it was incredible. And I was like, wow, these brands, there are brands in the world who want really cool content. And it's actually a much better business. I can do the filmmaking thing for major brands like Sierra Nevada. They're a client of ours and my agency. So I ended up going behind the camera, doing narrative, and then realizing that doing video for cool brands was actually super cinematic. A lot of it could be super cinematic and cool. And I could make like little films for these brands and actually get paid for it and actually make a living and not have to work on Saturdays and all that stuff, right? Not have to be in, you know, Brazil for 6 months. Or my wife did a TV show and suddenly we had to move to Prague. And it's like, we had a 4-year-old, so it was fine. But now that she's nine, that's not going to fly.
That's tough.
Right? So it seems amazing, but it's very hard to like sort of weave that needle of Hollywood to actually have a good life, to make a living and have a good life. So I've always gone behind the camera, and what I did was just turn that into an agency. And so we do content for brands like across the world, and then also Amazon brands, which we can talk about today. So, but in the meantime, that business model, the agency business model, is it requires a lot of people, and it requires, you know, sort of scaling through complexity in people. I think you probably can speak to this.
There's all kinds of complexities. Yes.
Yeah. 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 So you have 30 people on your team?
We do. We have 30 people.
Yeah. So that's complex, man. So the exponential amount of communication going on.
Yeah. It's actually really challenging to keep up with. And it's like, how do you build the middle management, right? Like, how do you build the senior management? How do you build specialists? When do you go from generalist to specialist? Yeah. I'm basically, as Gary Vee said, I'm basically an HR company now.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's like, completely. I was doing HR for the last 2 hours. Right before we got on this call, there was an issue with team members, nothing bad, just like, hey, my role seems to be shifting a little bit. Like, want to make sure things are cool. And like, I want to make sure people are really in the places that they should be, that they're good at and they enjoy. And then certain people shift and then we grow a little bit and then communication becomes an issue. So it's all these complexities. I mean, the agency model is awesome. I love it. And I really enjoy the people, but I saw this other thing happen 4 or 5 years ago called Amazon FBA.
What was this FBA thing?
Yeah. Weird acronyms, all kinds of acronyms, all kinds of stuff. And I was like, wow, that's nice. There's something I heard Ryan Moran say. He liked the idea of having a product that was outside of himself, a physical product. It had never occurred to me that physical product companies, you know, you just don't think about it unless you're in this business. A physical product company it's nice because it's scalable outside of me spending hours doing this or whatever. There's a scale to it that can happen. And so I just liked it as a second business to my agency business. Right.
So I used to be a television reporter myself, and
oh wow,
I think I follow your background very closely. It's like, man, I was doing a weather hit in Wisconsin in the middle of a blizzard. Everybody's home at 10 PM. And I was like, man, I'd rather be home in my pajamas right now. Yeah. I'm out. See ya.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and then it took me a couple of years to figure that transition out. And I didn't probably hear about FBA until my second or third marketing job. And then I was selling women's plus size clothing, and their Amazon business just took off. And I was like, who buys women's plus size clothing on Amazon? Apparently it was a thing back then. Right. And then I ended up getting involved in like the beta advertising on Amazon and sold rice cookers for 2 cents a click. That was cool. So yeah, I'm with you. I follow your journey very closely. I'm a lot of mad respect, a big transition. That transition, like, how do you go from Hollywood to being an Amazon? So that's a big transition.
It is. Yeah, it is.
You had a thought there. So jump on that, and then I'll ask you a question.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's part of that process of realizing that you want to have. Like ultimately I wanted to have a family and I wanted to have like a stable life, and the Hollywood life, it's just not that. It's exciting. Like, you know, there's like a real upside to suddenly we're moving to Prague. That's really fun. But it's also, it doesn't ultimately work for the long term. It becomes very challenging on a family. And that's why there's a lot of divorces in Hollywood and all this stuff. And so I'm a family guy. I'm super into my, you know, raising my kids and being a good dad and all this stuff. And so I wanted a business that wasn't so that. So two things. Also, the other piece of Hollywood that is like, hard work doesn't pay off. Actually, it can.
Right.
Right. But it's not. You can work really hard at an agency or at an FBA business, and it will produce dividends. I mean, if you're if you're doing all the wrong things, you know, that can be bad. But like, you could do all the right things and work really hard in Hollywood and it can mean nothing. And I just didn't like that. I'm an entrepreneur. I wanted to be able to work hard and for it to have a payoff to, you know, so all of those things led to me, you know, looking for other opportunities. And then I started reading a lot of books. I started, you know, I read The E-Myth, which, you know, for an agency guy, you've probably read it, right?
I actually don't think I have read that one.
You already know the concepts because you're doing it, but you're, you know, E-Myth is really, E-Myth Revisited is the second edition. Okay. And it's really about, it's really about the idea that you can't do all the work yourself, right? So if you're an agency, you can't service all the clients yourself. You need to build a team around you to execute these things. You need to hire experts. And as a filmmaker, I was like, well, I'm the one with the genius. I mean, I sort of thought that to myself. I'm the one that has the vision, understands what it's going to look like, understands how to tell the story. So to hire people under me, to train them, to mentor them, has been a long process, but that's been super fun and exciting. But, so I don't know, did that answer your question?
Yeah. I'm just fascinated by that transformation. So I know what skill I would pick coming out of my own background has been the most important to my career, but I'm curious what you would say for yours. What skill did you learn from your acting career that translated best to e-commerce?
Storytelling.
That's pretty close to the one I picked. Communication, investigative communication, and the ability to answer questions and ask questions. So why do you feel that way though? Tell me.
Yeah, I because, you know, if you're going to for us as an agency telling brand stories, and for you guys as Amazon sellers and brand owners, you have to be able to tell your product story and your brand story in a way that sets you apart in the marketplace. Like you used to be able to on Amazon in 2015, 2016, just put up a product and it would sell, but that's not the case anymore. You're going to get eaten alive. But if you really know how to tell your product story, position it in a way that's differentiated from the competition, or that's intriguing, or that connects to someone's emotions. Like, let's say you really understand that there's a pain point that your product solves, and you can articulate that pain point in a really strong way, and that's through a story, you know, rather than like data, right? You tell a story about like, has this happened to you? Do you feel this way? And you tell that story, and then our product is going to solve that problem for you. That's super compelling. I mean, talk about increasing your conversion rate, all that stuff, right? That's the skill.
So I really agree with you here. And so as a consumer who goes onto a listing, you got to match the target demographics to the imagery, right? Like you got to story tell that whole listing from soup to nuts, because you're trying to make the consumer feel like they're already using your product. And it's just a matter of clicking that button over there, that little nice buy now, buy box button.
Yep.
So let's go real world example here. Now you can pick an item that you sell, or you can pick any item. Walk me through how to increase that storytelling.
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think of a good example. We recently did a whole revamp for a large Amazon seller. Microderm Glow is their name, and they had their product line is you know, things that like devices that help your skin, so it's like pores and different things that help with your pores and stuff like that. They didn't have any sense of connecting with the problem, the pain points that the product solved. So we started with, how are we going to, who's the avatar? Who's the target audience? Who are these people? And then with their help, we connected with a influencer who, she was actually Miss America 16. And so we used her to tell the story that this solved the problems for my skin. And so she cited specific examples of how this product helped with my pores or my acne or whatever, the different things. So we had her talk about those problems that she had, and then specifically how each product solved those things. And then secondly, we took the visuals and we made them We took them from looking like they were Amazon visuals, Amazon images, maybe sort of made in China type products, to clearly this brand understands design and understands aesthetic. And we went from this example, we went from kind of white backgrounds and white look and feel to like a dark cinematic, like, you know, like strong lighting, you know, shadows, very, very designed and cool. And like, wow, these people understand the brand, they understand branding. And so, you know, it's sort of like Nike's playbook or, you know, these large brands where it's like, they do the most cinematic commercials that exist, like these incredible, incredible cinematic storytelling, cinematic visuals. And so what happens when you do that is then suddenly you trust the brand. You're like, wow, these people know what they're doing. Yeah. So if you look at like image number, two, three, four.
So for those that are following us on YouTube, we'll verbally describe this for those that are just listening in. So the secondary images here, white text on black, really visual. You can see, I think my favorite thing about this photo is the eye contact.
Yeah.
So one of the, you know, if you're looking for image tips in today's podcast, the most important thing in my opinion is you need to have eye contact with the person who's in the image to get the best lifestyle value. All right. So hit us with other image tips, Judson. What else we got?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of, you see how like professional that looks and how she's smiling. So for sure you want smiling. Almost every single product in the world wants a person smiling. What we look to do is tell your brand story. So you've got your 3 to 6 key attributes, key benefits that they're the, so we've got our, you know, some of our features right here, but you've got your key, you know, 4 to 6 benefits that the person that this is going to change your life. This is going to make you feel this way. That kind of stuff needs to go in the imagery on the imagery. So, right. And most of you know that. So I would include, as little information as possible. You don't want to overstuff all of this. Yeah. So we did all this A+ as well, but you want to make sure that you're really telling the story, because I think, I don't know if you have the stats, but very few people actually read the bullets, right? Or they'll maybe look at cursory at the front of each bullet.
Yeah. So let's talk bullets for just a second. This is a tip I'm going to give you. You may not know about this. Capital letters in the MSDS category are now banned and your listing can get suspended. So I would advise you to go change those bullet points. That's breaking news in the last week, by the way.
I did hear that. This isn't our brand, but so you think they're going to just start shutting people's listings down?
We saw it. We've seen it. It's happened. Oh, wow. Yeah. We've had 3 clients it's happened to. We had a mad dash where I was like, okay, team, go change hundreds of these listings immediately and transfer them over. And it was a huge mess. Anybody we made the change out of the capitals, though we saved them from being suspended, was totally worthwhile.
Yeah, right, right.
So this is only affecting MSDS right now. And this particular item might be in like a subcategory that they haven't hit yet. But,
right,
you know, consumables, safety, medical, they're getting hit hard right now. So if you're in one of those listening to this MSDS safety category, medical category, I would highly advise you update your bullets today. All right. So you were talking about the readability of bullets, and I agree with you. Most people don't read them anymore. In fact, they're looking at images now.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to put the key things that are going to sell your product and differentiate it from the marketplace. You want to make sure these are front and center here. And you see how we're not overstuffing it. You see, easy to touch, patented technology, right? We're building trust, and we want, and you see how we also have it in the hand, right? You want to, because, you know,
banana for scale.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Because human beings, we are, there's so much going on under the surface. Like, you're thinking about things, but you're also feeling things. And so to really get a sense of really this product, seeing it in a human hand, seeing it being used. So we have that. The third image is it's being used. The second image is lifestyle. Like, we are pro, we're super pro company. So if a company is going to spend the time and the energy to create incredible visuals like this and a nice video, you know, whoa, sorry.
Your mic dropped there. That's all right. Yeah.
You know that they also took the time to build an incredible product, right? I mean, that's what psychologically you think.
That actually makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So one of the things that kind of called out to me here, I think you guys did a fantastic job with the A+ content. The product grid, which I think is the most underutilized element of A+ content, is present here. And back to one of your earlier comments where you talked about which product does what, this product grid here does a perfect example of that. So for those that are just listening in, on the left-hand side, they have an adjective: cleanse, detoxify, exfoliate, hydrate, and the brand promise. And then on the top, I guess that'd be the x-axis, they have a product name: facial cleansing brush, facial steamer, SPA, microderm glow silver, and so on. And then there's check marks that basically explains this product does cleaning, this product does detoxify, this product hydrates. And a consumer who comes in here, when they see a chart like this, they immediately say, hey, I need more than one product. I need to solve multiple problems. Of course, your average order value goes up. You sell more products to more people, more often, for more money. Ecom 101. Yep. So great job on that.
Thank you. Yeah, this is something we suggest for every single client, and we have on every single brand, is this comparison module at the bottom. It's for sure, because it's clickable too, right? You can click out to any
immediately
of these products.
Click to these. Yeah. The other thing too is you took a lot of space up with the A+ content, which is the opposite of most ecom strategies. But on Amazon, you do want to take lots of space, because there's 100 different competing rabbit hole advertisements for other products. And so take space is good. I also want to call out that the social,
Social credibility. Proof, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The social proof is very present, you know, mentioning Cosmopolitan, E! News, New Beauty, InStyle, all featured there. So yeah, I mean, like when somebody starts on this product, and you know, obviously we're hyper analyzing every element here, but even if you only spent 20 seconds and you just scrolled and you saw smiling face, patented, and they've got steps here, and oh, I need multiple products, done. Well, if I'm making a decision in less than 30 seconds, it's an easier yes.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and you just get the feeling that, you know, people buy for emotional reasons. They, you know, there's a reason it's called impulse purchase, right? There's like, you don't even necessarily mean to do it. And this is happening so much more in e-commerce, because we're not at the store. When you're at Target, you end up buying two or three things you didn't go there for. And so that's happening on Amazon now. And this is that opportunity. And the more, you know, Amazon hasn't said this, but tell me if I'm wrong, if you agree. I think the more time that they spend on page. So if for YouTube, we know that the longer that you're on YouTube, the more there it's like, if your video
engagement
keeps right. So I think the same is true with Amazon. It's like the longer you're on that page, they're gonna love you for it. They're gonna show your even if it doesn't convert. If it, obviously conversion matters massively, but the longer time on page is gonna, they're gonna be like, wow, we need to show this to more people, right?
So totally agree with you there. All right, so you know, if we just kind of generically step back here. A couple of quick hit questions for you. What do you think the most important piece of content is on your product page?
I would say the main image, but is that after you get to the product? Because that's going to get people sessions, right? So your main image it's the most important thing, I think, across the board for a listing.
They've made it harder to make a good main image too. Like you can't have like words and text and symbols anymore. So do you have any main image tips you might provide?
Yeah. So the number one main image tip is to split test it. So we will split test something before we ever launch a product. And then, you know, you can use PicFu, or I'm sure you've recommended that, or
I've talked to those guys. PicFu is pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I think I saw that episode. Yeah. So I would for sure do PicFu because, you know, you're surprised. I'm always like, this image is going to dominate for sure. And then the PicFu tells me it's something different. And then they write all the responses. You're like, oh my gosh, it totally makes sense. I never would have thought of that. If you want to get really, so guys, if you're launching products, guys and gals, and you can get a main image, you can get a listing that's converting at a higher percentage, the cost of your launch is going to go way down, right? So we'll split test a main image before launching. And then if we get some results out of that PicFu thing that are interesting, that give us new ideas, we'll do a second, we'll do another round. We'll take the good one, the one that won, and we'll iterate off it again, try to improve it one more time. whether it's add this element, angle, the angle change, like let's say it's a scented candle. You know, we discovered that it, I don't know the logic behind it. I can't figure it out, but it just is completely true that if you actually see the wax, the angle, if you see the wax and it's lit, that just converts way better than if it's just the jar or the jar is closed or the candle's not lit, you know, and this is just, these are the kinds of things in your market. There are things like that. If it's open, if it's closed, if it has the box, if it doesn't have the box, if there's a little, like, let's say the thing has some kind of aroma to it, whatever your product is, it's a room spray, it's a whatever. And you actually put like a little sprig of that, you know, eucalyptus plant. Obviously that's not part of the product. And it's technically probably against TOS, but
it is now, but we do it anyway.
Yeah, you do it anyway. And you just check and see, and that will convert better. Something like that will probably convert better. 90% of the time we've seen that. So split testing the main image would be your number one thing. Cause without the sessions, you're not going to convert. You got to get the sessions. You got to get people the initial click.
So I'm going to be a little greedy here. I have not split test my wine glass images. Then again, I don't even shoot images of my wine glasses. All of mine are graphically created. What kind of split test would you run on a wine glass with a funny saying on it? Just curious what you'd come up with.
Have you tried with wine and without wine?
I have not.
Okay,
you haven't. That's an easy one.
I would try with wine and without wine. I would try with a hand and without a hand. And that's, you know, technically, because it shows
I don't think I've seen any main images with a hand. That one might be prohibited. But yeah. I like the with wine and without. So here's a great case example. So I'm a supposed Amazon expert, right? I'm also an Amazon seller. I had not thought to A/B test my main image with wine or without wine. And that's blatantly obvious after having this conversation, right? So yeah, case example, even the experts don't do everything.
So you're constantly learning. And that's why, like, sometimes it's nice to bring in, like, you guys are experts in, you know, so many tiny little aspects of Amazon. And that's the key, right? Is to have people who are going to just completely obsess over the keywords or completely obsess over the conversion rate of the A plus or adding this or doing split tests or whatever. And I would recommend people lean into the experts around you, whether it's, you know, my Amazon guy or other podcasts or other, because every, you know, I'm thinking about content every day. And so it makes sense that you hadn't thought of, but I'm thinking of it every day because that's my
that's your stick. You
know, that's my shtick.
You've been doing that like lifelong. You're a mile deep and an inch wide on that one area. That's awesome.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. And, so Nick, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and seeing major billion-dollar brands and what they're doing and how they're making decisions. So we have this inside look into what they're thinking, how they're thinking about content. And
this is an interesting topic. Okay. Yeah. So this might be the one topic where we have some differing opinions. And the reason I say this is because a lot of times over the years, I'll bring on a new seller and they're like, hey, these guys are doing really well. We want to mimic them. And I'll be like, no, you don't. Their listings suck. And they'll be like, well, look, their conversions and their sales are really good. It's sold in Sephora or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but they don't even have secondary images. So like, so I know this is gonna be a nuanced conversation, but like, I feel like big corporations for the most part haven't paid attention. And then the small guys selling out of their garage or side hustling it, right? Like they've surpassed storytelling for the most part. Now, you probably have some strong opinions on this. Is it worth following the big guys or did the small guys completely pass them? What's your opinion?
On Amazon, I agree with you. The small guys pass them. The big guys are just, for the most part, throwing their products on Amazon because they're killing it elsewhere. And so they're just like, well, let's just add that as good a channel. Point. And they're not like obsessing like the way we are about each, because they're not living and dying off of their Amazon sales on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. They're like, let's see if we can add 10% to our revenue for the year. Right. I mean, a lot of them, there are big brands that have done it well, but very few. That's my take. So I agree with you.
I'm surprised you agree. All right.
I think big brands are doing really cool content. And some of them are really good at Facebook ads. Some of them have incredible commercials. Some of them have incredible imagery that we would have to spend $100,000 to do these incredible shoots. Right.
Sure.
But most of those are not doing that on Amazon.
Do you see it changing at all? Yeah. Do you think it's going to change?
Yeah. I do, but I think the change is like, it's like the Thrasio, like those guys.
Yeah. So people that don't know who Thrasio is, they bought up a bunch of seller accounts. They're bringing all their sophistication internally and then crushing it because they have all the sophistication.
Yeah. And they're like now the big dog doing Amazon super well. I think it's going to be more like that coming from that direction, as opposed to like suddenly Nike gets really good at Amazon.
I think you're right.
It's strange, but they just don't do it. Yeah. By the way, just in order, like in reference to our conversation about content and like video and photos and how much this stuff matters, Thrasio, I've heard them speak on a couple podcasts, and the number one thing they say is we take the content and so they buy Amazon brands that have crappy content, crappy photos, crappy videos. They only have a couple photos. They own all this.
Buying high quality products.
Yeah. And then they create incredible content around these products and double the sales in a year, triple the sales.
One of the stories I heard about Thrasio is they bought and I'm going to butcher the actual storyline, but they bought a product and they actually watered it down and made it cheaper. And I think it was a cleaning supply of some kind. I forget what it is. Anyway, so yeah, that makes perfect sense. All right. So next question for you, what can sellers do to increase their conversion rates this year, and how might it be different next year?
Yeah. Yeah. So once you get a session, right? Once your main image is killer. Well, first of all, there's steps before that, obviously, that you have to have the keywords. You have to have the keywords in place or else they're not going to find the main image. And once they find the main image, because you have a really good keyword game, then you have a good main image game, and then they get into your listing, and then what happens? They buy it or they don't buy it, right? So that's where we talk about conversion rate, is getting in there. And Amazon is starting to give us more opportunity there, right? Like A+ is a good example.
Amazon Social is coming up.
Yeah, Amazon Social, right? Is that, you think that's going to be an iteration of Amazon Posts or?
Oh, they're one and the same in my mind right now. But it's, okay, I mean, yeah. it's like Instagram for Amazon at the moment as it stands, but it could evolve. I think Amazon Live is probably the biggest up and coming thing, and that's one I haven't tackled because I don't have an iPhone, and I think it's really stupid to go on Amazon Live. You have to have an iPhone.
That is stupid. I didn't know that.
That's really dumb. But I have had a couple clients that have crushed it with Amazon Live.
Oh, that's cool.
But video content in general getting hot. But
video content super hot. Yeah. So just recently they just opened up video for UK. Like you couldn't do it at all in UK until like last week. But I literally got an email today that said from Amazon. Let me see if I can pull it up here. It said, did you get this email? It said, add video to your listings and you can increase your conversion rate by 3.6x. And
it's interesting because like for the last couple of years, I've been telling people just have a video. It doesn't even matter if it's good, just have a video and conversion rates are going to go up. So that's been my articulation. So next year it's probably gonna have to be changed. It's going to be like, okay, you have to have a good video now. Because people are actually watching them. The view rates on videos are pretty low at the moment. I think it's going to change just because of how much they're pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I agree with you. And I've heard you say that, and I think it's very smart. And that's exactly what Amazon's saying. They're saying Amazon has found that customers spend more on products that have videos associated with them.
I do remember reading this.
Yeah. So they're not even saying that they've watched the videos. And I think, you know,
they probably haven't.
Yeah. They probably haven't. We have one video that gets 2,000 to 3,000 views per month. You know, it's a high traffic. Excuse me. It's a high traffic product, but you know, that's a lot, you know, there, it's a 1 minute video. It's, that's a lot of watching, and they're watching 70-80% of the video. But yeah, so Amazon's sort of admitting that even if they don't watch the video, we still finding the conversion rate gets increased. And I've heard that from other places as well. So, I agree that, I've watched your video on, the video that you made, for yourself, I think about the wine glasses, right? And it's super smart. If you don't have the budget to sort of do a professional video or whatever, just do a video, an easy video with your phone. You can have your nephew edit it, or you can use the software that's out there that helps you edit your videos, or shoot one, sort of plan out something to shoot one shot that you don't have to edit at all, right? If it's a little unboxing video, just shoot it all in one take. And so you don't have to do any editing. You can just upload that because it's the right, you know, iPhone or your phone has the correct specs, right?
And I mean, phones have gotten really good. So yeah, it can be totally better than nothing for sure.
Totally.
A lot of people listening to this are like, oh, I'm camera shy. I don't want to go on camera. Well, just put your hands in the camera. Then no big deal. Like show and tell the product.
Exactly.
Something, anything. Even if it was just a 360 view.
Yeah, that's right.
Or scale it.
Yeah. If you just open up the product on camera, and by the way, you know, don't shake. Like keep
steady
the camera
matter.
Pretty still.
I agree. Yeah.
They totally matter. Unbox it and then just show it in your hand and kind of like move it around or show whatever it does. That's going to help you. That's going to help you. Even the people seeing that there's a video there shows that you're, it's like we said earlier, it just shows that you care about the product. It just speaks to the fact that you're a pro and that your products are going to be good, that you care. This isn't some Chinese, hack product, right? Yeah.
All right. So last pop quiz question. What do you think the biggest missed opportunity for Amazon PPC is?
Sponsored video ads.
That goes right in line with video.
Well, I'll tell you. So I was looking at in preparation for this, I was looking at some of our stats today, and all of our best campaigns are video campaigns. So sponsored brand videos, have the best ACoS, the highest ROAS of all of our ads. And we did a split test recently, because I have an agency for these kinds of things. So it behooves me to sort of figure out what's actually working, right? We did a split test between, we shot the same exact product. We used the same exact keyword set. So same exact bids, same exact keyword set, same product, right? Two videos. So we're doing is split testing the creative. We did a cinematic, super cool video that is sort of like, my company's called Butter. We call it buttery, sort of like very cool, very cool, very buttery, very creamy. And you know what I'm talking about, like a very pro video. And it opens with this badass shot of the product, like sort of sliding on a table. It's like very cool. The other one was sort of like an unboxing, very simple and clean. And I, to be honest with you.
Did the unboxing win?
No.
No. Okay. Okay.
I was surprised.
I thought you were setting this up. Okay.
I was surprised. I thought that it might. Because it's just so clean and you're on Amazon and you see the product, you're like, I don't suddenly want to get transported into a commercial. I'm trying to buy something. Right. So I thought it might work, but come to find out that the cinematic videos, they won. Yeah. But I think it's just,
I think TV commercials prove that. Otherwise people would be doing unboxing videos on national television. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
So I guess, man, your skills as a storyteller in Hollywood really do come in handy as you're trying to put video ads together for Amazon sellers. That's incredible.
It's funny, isn't it? It's funny. It really, I mean, it's surprising to me.
Full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. My agency, so Butter is the name of it. We were doing commercials for these sort of bigger brands. We did like documentary films. We were doing all this cool stuff, music videos, things like that. By the way, sort of anecdotally, I have one music video that has like 35 million views on YouTube. It's insane. And the budget was $3,000.
Wow.
It just went completely viral. But anyway, so we were doing all that kind of work. And then I started an Amazon brand. I started two Amazon brands in early 2016. And I never intended for everything to sort of intermingle, but it just all kind of came like Amazon started offering a lot of options for video. And then we did tests. We're like, oh my gosh, this cinematic video actually totally converts. This is amazing. So just sort of all synergistically sort of happened. And then we started helping other brands do their Amazon content. And then we started helping other brands do photos and A+ and the whole thing. It just sort of all happened organically. You know, it's been very interesting.
That is interesting. All right. So tell me one of the mistakes you might've made as an Amazon seller. What was something that happened? You're just like, ah, frick, that one's out the door.
Yeah. I think launching a product that I thought was cool, but I didn't vet at all. Right. So it gets us a big cost. It's a big cost to be like, okay, I'm going to order 1,000 units or 500 units of this thing. I love this thing. It's in my own house.
Amazing. So I'm the number one fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Been there.
Yeah, you've been there, right? And it's sort of one of the bigger mistakes.
I have that Sweet Heat hot sauce behind me right there on camera every day to remind me that I am infallible. So tell me what item you tried to launch, if you're willing to share.
It's happened a couple times. One time we launched a fleece blanket. So, you know, super cozy, super soft. those kinds of fleece blankets. They kill it. I mean, you look at the Jungle Scout or whatever, those plugins. I mean, they're making like, it's like millions a month. It's insane, right? Like they're just killing it. But it's a market that it's almost impossible to differentiate yourself. And it's inundated with Chinese sellers, direct from China sellers, who can just beat you on price because they're the manufacturer. So, you know, they can copy your exact product.
But by the way, I think that's the biggest prediction I have going into next year. So Chinese going direct to consumer is going to hit a precipice next year, in my opinion. I think we're going to see an insane amount of them. Like take a company like Jungle Scout, right? They are doing more business in China than they are in the United States. I don't actually know that for a fact. That's what I believe. And so but I do know for a fact that they're doing conferences over there. So I'm afraid of that. And I think the way to combat that is to create like manufactured goods in the States. And I'm a big proponent of like made in the USA coming back.
Yeah.
I've been talking about that a long time though, and it's not happened quite yet. So who knows how long that's going to happen, but any case, so you mentioned China and then all of a sudden you triggered thoughts. And then the other thing I thought of was we have a seller right now. They sell some medical stuff and they're under attack from a Chinese seller right now. So they sell in the US, they don't sell in Canada. The Chinese hacker took their Canadian listings and put in keywords like heroin. Of course, that led to their listings getting yanked. But here's the crazy thing. It yanked them in the US with the keywords in Canada.
Oh my gosh.
Like how are sellers supposed to deal with this, right? Like the sophistication level of the competition right now and the shady stuff that's going on. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, so after you said the word China, I actually stopped listening and I started.
Yeah, you're like, oh, China.
So
no, I agree with you. No, I agree with you. I think it's a you need to different there. We need to find, as Amazon FBA sellers in going into 2021, we need to find some moats around our products. They need to be unique. They need to be a little bit harder to copy, something, right? And
otherwise you're going to get fleeced.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but yeah, so that ended up being, and it was a little bit of expensive problem because it's a bigger product. It's expensive to ship. It's expensive to store, right? So when you get into these bigger products, it's more expensive to liquidate. All those issues come up. So it's, you can have a big win with bigger products, but.
So resonating, you know, kind of summarizing as we're wrapping up here, vet stuff, tell stories and A/B test it. Summary of today's pod right there.
100%.
All right. I'll give you the last word here. So Justin, you're an Amazon seller. You also run your own agency. Go ahead and plug what you do. And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how they can do that.
Yeah. You know, we're not for everybody. If you're a, you know, just starting out or probably, you know, you probably want to figure out a little bit of a cheaper solution, but we start videos pretty affordably. My agency is butter.la or www.butter.la. So just the word B-U-T-T-E-R. Or you can email me, judson@butter.la. Happy to help. We do photos and videos and, you know, we're a video company, but we do all kinds of content. So the graphics, and then we have packages where you can just order, hey, I want, you know, the full package and we'll do the full content for you. So 6 images, a video, an A+ setup, and we'll shoot all that. We'll hire the models. So we're in Los Angeles. So we have access to the best models in the world, the best actors, all that stuff.
I hear you can get somebody from Van Helsing.
Yeah. So. She'd be too expensive. I can't afford her.
Ah, way to go. All right. So back to that Hollywood tie-in. Is there any behind the scenes, like, I don't know, cool fact that you can share about shooting things like that? And it could be about Van Helsing or could it be about, you know, any of your things that you've done over the years before you left Hollywood?
Well, I have a funny story that I was sitting with a friend of mine who I did a play with back in, it was a while ago. And, you know, when I was an actor, he was 15 years ago. So we're sitting at coffee. He moved to Los Angeles and, you know, he's sort of like a bigger guy. Like he, you know, fat, I don't know, maybe is that a bad word? I'm not supposed to say that. He's a larger human. And we're sitting out coffee and he's like, he's trying to be an actor. And, you know, I was like, I don't know, man. I feel like it's going to be really hard. It was hard for me. I was like, I think it's going to be really hard. I don't know if you should stay here in Los Angeles. I was kind of discouraging him. And then, you know, he calls me a couple of weeks later and he turns out he, He was Kevin on The Office. Brian Baumgartner. And he just turns out to
in my head, I was thinking which actor went famous that you're about to land here. And I was and I'm really bad with names, so I can't do this on the fly, but I was thinking about every funny fat guy in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And Kevin's on that list.
Yeah.
Way to go, man. And he's so down to earth.
Oh man, he's the best. He's a super, super like normal dude, a dad. Just like we used to play tennis together. He's a great guy.
You should go on his podcast. He just launched one.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. I might have him on mine too when I start mine. I got to start a podcast, right? I mean, it's awesome,
I would be happy to be your first guest.
Okay, sweet.
Thrilled. Very much enjoyed our conversation today, Justin. And you know, when we're going longer than a half hour, you know, it's a good conversation. So, well, cool. Thanks for coming on the My Amazon Guy podcast. And, you know, if you're looking for high end video or photo or storytelling, check Judson out at butter.la. And that's our podcast today. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you very much.
This was the My Amazon Guy podcast with Stephen Pope. Each episode helps you grow your sales on Amazon through ideas on traffic and conversion rate improvements. Hit that subscribe button right now to tune in each week. And if you need more help, go to myamazonguy.com.